Welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show.
Jack Del Rio Show.
Your one-hour conversation with the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
You're going to be tested. There's going to be adversity. How you persevere says a lot about what you're going to be as a team.
The Jack Del Rio Show is brought to you by Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company, Ticket Exchange, and Community First Credit Union. To talk to the coach, dial 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Or from outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars.
The voice.
Brian Sexton.
Good evening, happy holidays, and welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show here on the Tuesday of a very short week. With Jack Del Rio and his football team coming off the 14-10 loss to the Miami Dolphins, getting ready for a Thursday night showdown with the 13-0 Indianapolis Colts. Good evening and welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show. Because of the short week, we are not certain at this point at what juncture of this show the head coach will be joining us. Obviously, Tuesday is a coach's planning day, the big day, game plan-wise, as they get ready for their next opponent. But today is really, Friday? Yeah, it's Friday in their work week. Tomorrow is Saturday. Thursday is Sunday. So everything's thrown a little bit out of kilter. However, we've got a lot to talk about, and you are welcome to join us here on the show with your thoughts and comments, either about the Jaguars' loss to the Dolphins on Sunday afternoon or about their chances here with the Colts on Thursday night. Playoffs right around the corner, at least still right around the corner for the Jaguars. They did not help themselves with a win on Sunday, but if you were to go to NFL.com, and that's where I am right now, you would see that the Jaguars are currently in the sixth position for the playoffs, which is where they were before they lost to the Dolphins. We've had a lot of emails and questions, how can that be? The Dolphins have the same record, isn't head-to-head go here? Shouldn't the Dolphins be sitting in the sixth spot? And right now, look, when we start getting into some of the playoff formulas, it gets confusing. But understand that right now, head-to-head doesn't matter because you have the Jaguars, the Ravens, the Dolphins, the Jets, all with 7-6, all with three more games to play, obviously. But right now, when you get into multiple teams with the same record, head-to-head doesn't apply because the Jaguars haven't played head-to-head with the Ravens. Dolphins haven't played the Ravens. So what they do here is they look the first tiebreaker among teams. Obviously, with four teams, they would all be from, or not all, but they would be from different divisions. You've got the Jaguars from the South, the Ravens from the North, and the Dolphins and the Jets from the East. So the first tiebreaker here now is conference record. And the Jaguars have a better conference record than the Ravens by half a game. Jaguars are 6-3 in the AFC. The Ravens are 6-4. The Dolphins are 5-4. And the Jets are 5-5. So where they sit right now, if the season ended today, for whatever that's worth, we're talking about the Jaguars still being in control. Here's the thing, though. The Jaguars need to win out in order to guarantee the playoff spot. The Jaguars, the Ravens, the Dolphins, the Jets all could, again, now, I'm not putting chances on this based on their schedule yet, but all could win out. And if they do, then conference record would come in. The Jaguars obviously have the most difficult schedule of the three. They have to play the Colts, they have to play at New England, and then they finish in Cleveland. The Ravens have to go to Pittsburgh. They have to go to Oakland. The Dolphins host Pittsburgh. They have to go to Tennessee this week. So we're talking about chances here. And earlier today, I sat with Jack Del Rio to tape his television show. And he threw a number at me. He said, look, if we win out, we're in the playoffs, right? I mean, 10-6 gets you into the playoffs because you still have the conference record there. Unless the Dolphins also win out, at which point the Jaguars would be head-to-head with the Dolphins and would lose the head-to-head. But as long as you have three teams in a tie-breaking scenario and head-to-head is thrown out, then the Jaguars have an advantage. But here was the number that he threw at me. If the Jaguars were to lose one of their final three games, their chances of making it to the postseason based on a probability chart that he did not have with him in the television studio at the time, so I haven't seen it, so this is by his third-hand information to you, would be 56%, a 56% chance. And obviously what you're factoring in there is the Ravens schedule, the Dolphins schedule, and the Jets schedule the rest of the way with opportunities. Jaguars with three wins, in most cases, find themselves in the playoff hunt. That's all you can ask for this football team. And let's be honest, is this team a playoff team? When you look at the Colts, look at the Chargers and what they've done this season. Look at the way that the Bengals have played consistently all year. The Jaguars, they're just not in the same league right now with them. They're, on any given Sunday, absolutely. But consistency all season long, clearly not. That's not a stretch of the imagination in any way, shape, or form. But when you're talking about making the playoffs for this team, and I guess the reason I go there is, who would have thought? 28 new faces, 13 rookies. You know, they've got 53 starts this year from their rookie class. The most productive rookie class in the league. I will offer to you, having been here for all of them, that this is the best rookie class that the Jaguars have ever had. So they've gotten a lot out of it, and to be in the playoff race here the week before Christmas says a lot. Here's the schedule for the Ravens, then I'll give you the Dolphins, then I'll give you the Jets, since those are the 4-7-6 teams. Then we'll take a break and we'll grab some of these phone calls that have started to pour in. Chicago at Baltimore Sunday, Baltimore at Pittsburgh on December 27th, and then Baltimore at Oakland. So just looking at it, you would think that there are two wins there for the Ravens. Oakland and Chicago. Who knows with Pittsburgh where they're at, as injured as they are right now. But you'd like to see, I mean, you'd think that the Ravens would win at least two of their final three games. As I mentioned, the Dolphins this week, not an easy task at all to go up and play Chris Johnson and the Tennessee Titans. Vince Young's knee, who knows where that's at this point. But that football team certainly has rebounded after the rough start. But so the Dolphins go and they take on Tennessee this coming Sunday. And then they've got Pittsburgh. And that's, they finish with Pittsburgh. Hold on, let me call this one up. My computer is obviously a little bit slow as I'm a half a step behind here. But they go to Tennessee this week. And then they will host Houston. And then they will play Pittsburgh down there. So Miami finishes with two of their final three at home. None of those are easy, per se, but we saw how well the Dolphins played last week. So they've got two wins there also. And then when you look at the New York Jets schedule, if I can pull that one up here real quickly and give you a sense of where they finish. Again, trying to guess where the Jaguars are going to be, where the Jets are going to be. I mean, week to week, how do you know? There's so many times this year that I would have guessed the Jaguars would have won. Go to Seattle, and they're playing with a third string offensive tackle on the left side. I would have guessed the Jaguars would have won after they had won a couple in a row. Jets host Atlanta. Then they go to Indy. And then they host Cincinnati. So they got a tough road to hoe as well. And they have a couple of conference losses in it also.
Last night, here locally on WOKV, Jaguars Monday, we had the question come up, what happens if the Dolphins and the Jaguars are the only teams to win out? Why wouldn't that tiebreaker come into play where the Dolphins would be ahead? The answer is, if you're thinking about that, suddenly the Dolphins aren't in the wild card anymore. If we went out, they went out, they win the division because we beat New England.
Right. That's true.
So that's how that would work that out.
So there are all the different scenarios out there. But if the Jaguars win out, they make the playoffs. I think that's simple to say. It's much, much more difficult to achieve. All right, we've got some calls on the line. Let's take our first break of the evening again. The Jack Del Rio Show, whether the coach is with us here in this hour or not, we are uncertain. We're hopeful. But on a short week like this, every schedule is thrown out of whack. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network. Christmas for you, as we have taken to doing over the last couple of weeks here on the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton with you. Hope to have the head coach in here over the course of the hour. We'll talk about the Dolphins game, if that's on your mind. Look forward to Thursday night showdown with the Indianapolis Colts. If you're joining us around the network and have not heard, this game will be televised. They have sold a bunch of tickets. The Revive the Pride effort, led by Carl Cannon and Tony Buscelli and Mike Hightower and a lot of other guys. Too many names to name. I shouldn't have even started. In conjunction with the Jaguars, have gotten this thing ready to go. Should be a great atmosphere around the stadium. They are planning a huge, for lack of a better term, street fair here in and around the stadium with the interactive games, and I think there's a concert and a lot of things going on to draw people down and to get them involved in the fun of the Jaguars and the Colts game. One other thing that I was just looking through here, and with three games to play, there's obviously a lot that can change with respect to the standings and the playoff scenarios. But the Broncos are 8-5. They host Oakland. They go to Philly. And then they host Kansas City. So, I mean, you would think they would be no worse than 10-6 based on those teams. Well, if that is the case, they would finish 8-4 in the 8-4 in the conference. If the Jaguars were to win out and the Broncos finish 2-1, the Jaguars could theoretically get into that fifth spot in the AFC by virtue of conference record. So I have to wait and see how that one all plays out. Again, you're talking about a football team with 13 rookies who have contributed. As many as 10 have been active for most of the season. 28 new faces. A quarterback that's been up and down, right, all season long. A running game that has been unable to get untracked. I mean, there's too many variables to say the Jaguars win out, go to the fifth spot. With you know, it stretches the imagination just a little bit. And when the coach and I were talking about this earlier today on the set of his television show, you know, again, we cautioned everything that we talked about with the fact that this is a football team that no one expected to be able to talk about these things at this point of the season. 355-NFL1 is our phone number. That's 355-6351. If you're outside of our calling area, listening on the internet or down in Orlando, up in Savannah, wherever you may be this evening, 800-355-NFL1. And that is a call that is entirely free to you. Pat joins us from the Ocean Way area here in Jacksonville. Hello, Pat. Welcome to the show.
Well, hey, it's good to be on.
Nice to have
you. How you guys doing tonight?
Well, it's just me. The coach is not yet here. Still in a meeting, getting ready for that game on Thursday. I'm sure most people would rather have him in that meeting than in here.
No doubt. No, it's. I was just making note that, hey, that defense played good enough to win. You know, the offense has really just has to, they got to find a way to get to move that ball. I mean, when they can, you know, when Miami had the ball 15 minutes and we went 3-and-out twice. I mean, that ain't gonna get you. That ain't gonna get you in play with the big fish.
No. You're absolutely right. I mean, can you imagine the Chargers or the Colts going 3-and-out on 6 of their first 8? Series in any game against any opponent? No, you can't.
They really do have to. They got to spread things out a little better. Even just to facilitate that run. Jones Drew could do a whole lot better if they give him some space.
Well, I'm sure play calling's a bit of it, Pat. I mean, it always is. But I think they have an issue in the middle of their line right now. Brad Meester is a guy who has been around for 10 seasons. He has had a lot of injury over the last couple of years, whether it's the bicep or the broken ankle that got him 2 years ago. I don't think he's been as explosive off the line this year. Of course, not many players in their 10th season are, but I think they've got an issue at center that they've got to address. I don't think that right guard Uche Nwaneri has held up very well over the last month. You know, from the moment that he replaced Mo Williams in the lineup, and I think Seattle was where he really took that job, he had a couple of really good weeks in a row where he was getting better. And since that point, I think it's fallen off. So they address the outside of their offensive line. And in a passing league like we see today, you've got to have those guys that can block the Dwight Freeneys and Mario Williams of the world. So they've got the young cornerstones. And I think Vinny Manawai has had some really strong moments this year coming back from the ACL. And remember, an ACL is an injury that you really don't see yourself back. I mean, really back until the second year. So that would be 2010 for Vinny. But I think that they've got some trouble in the middle of their line. If you look at the tape and you watch Paul Soliai and Randy Starks on that fourth down play, they got great penetration, and I think that's really the issue. I mean, yes, could they run some of those quick tosses like the Dolphins ran with Ricky Williams? Sure, they could do a little bit more of that, no doubt. And I'm sure that that's something that they're talking about in their meetings right now. But the reality of it is that it's often players, not plays. And I thought they got beat up front, and they have, the last couple of weeks, not been as good in the middle of their offensive line as they need to be. Now, with respect to the defense, hard to argue with your logic there. That defense really turned it on in the second half, and they did it without John Henderson. They've done it for a month without Rasheen Mathis, and I'm not sure if that story gets enough credit for what it really means. We're talking about a guy that was cut loose by Kansas City. Kansas City. I mean, you can understand why the Jets wouldn't keep him around. They've got a couple of very talented corners. But Kansas City's terrible. And they let Tyron Brackenridge go. And here Brackenridge now has started four games. Last week led the Jaguars with nine tackles, had a couple of fumbles forced. If you remember a couple of plays that he made against Houston the week before, knocking the ball away, has he been beat? Yeah, he's been beat on a couple of plays. He's a third-year player that's bounced around. He's not Rasheen Mathis, but he really has held up pretty well over the course of that. And Mathis' availability this week is still somewhat in doubt. He's been gone since that Jets game, and on Monday, he was limited in practice. Today, he was limited in practice. So that's going to be a game-time decision. And whether he can turn and run with Reggie Wayne, that says a lot. But what they did without John Henderson, without Rasheen Mathis, the way they were able to turn it around in the second half there and play solid football is exactly what they're looking for. They need some more players. They need some more pass rushers to make this thing sing as they go forward. Again, playoffs right now, absolutely. They're still in the hunt. That's what makes Thursday such an exciting opportunity for the Jaguars and their fans. But big picture now, it's about 2010. It's about Gene Smith and his staff getting another, and it may be preposterous for me to suggest, another great draft. Because, folks, this draft is as good as it gets. Clearly the most productive in the National Football League this year.
Is Henderson going to be in?
Don't know. That's going to be a game-time decision also, Pat. I'm looking here at the injury report that was handed to me not long ago. He was limited on Monday, full participation today. So, yeah, I would say he's probably going to go. Let me give you the injury report real quick. Obviously, Greg Jones did not participate. He has not yet been put on injury reserve, but I would imagine that's coming with the severity of the injury that he suffered. Limited participation in practice. Clint Ingram and Jack Del Rio told me earlier today he won't go on Thursday night. And Rasheen Mathis, he said, would be a game-time decision. Full participation, Derek Cox, Keenan Forney, John Henderson, Maurice Drew, Zach Miller, Mike Sims-Walker took a part in all of practice today, as did Darryl Smith and Julius Williams. So, you know, it looks like the Jaguars, the big concern for them on Thursday is whether or not they get their best defensive player and their best cover cornerback to face Peyton Manning, who's the best passing quarterback in the National Football League today. Pat, appreciate the call. Much more to talk about. Folks, you can join us 355-NFL-1 for the Jack Del Rio Show here on Jaguars Radio. In a row now, and we'll obviously have the weekend and then all next week before going back on the road to finish the 2009 season in New England the weekend after Christmas. Could be fun if you've seen one of those snowy games. I don't know what the forecast is for Boston. It's too far out to suggest that it will snow there, but let it snow rings in my mind from a couple of years ago where the Patriots fans were tossing snow up into the air weekend after Christmas. Who knows? Jaguars win on Thursday night. Beat the Colts, stay in the race. That could be a heck of an atmosphere to it. If it sounds like I'm just enjoying the moment, it's because I am. I didn't anticipate this team would be here this year. I don't know whether or not you can pull yourself back and do the same thing, or if you're just so caught up in it that you're mad about what happened on Sunday. I mean, hey, look, you go 3-and-out, you're 6 of your first 8 drives. Absolutely, as a fan, you have the right to be mad about that. If you fail on a couple of opportunities late in the ball game, for sure. But again, looking big picture at this, I'm just trying to enjoy it because no one could have told me back in August that this team, the jettisoned veterans like Tony Pashos and Fred Taylor and Brian Williams, would be able to be at the point that they're at right now, which is to say, right in the thick of the thing, sitting there tied with the Jets, with the Dolphins, and with the Ravens, and with an opportunity, although the toughest schedule remaining over the next couple of weeks for the Jaguars compared to those other teams, but right in the middle of it all with respect to the playoffs, and that's exactly where they sit right now. By the way, the game will be televised locally for those of you in Jacksonville who have not seen a home game all season long. There are still tickets available in terms of the club seats, I believe, And you can get those at Jaguars.com or call the folks over at the ticket department at 633-2000. From what I'm told, though, all the general bowl seats are gone, and you'll have a tough time. You may find a single here or there. You'll find a really, really difficult time to find two seats together for the bowl game. I remember that the game a couple of years ago here when the Steelers came in. You remember that? The headline in the Times Union was Teal Army. Remember that, Joe? And they had the wiggle sticks, and I mean, that's what you need to get back to here. But that's a totally different subject for a totally different day. At this point, Jaguars and Colts will be televised. It's 5 o'clock for the Tailgate Show. For those of you listening here on News Talk Radio, WOKV in Jacksonville, we'll pick up the entire network with a pregame show, which starts at 7. Kickoff for the Thursday night game is at 8:20 Eastern time. And, of course, we'll have the Winn-Dixie postgame show and the scoreboard show for all of you to join in. Jaguars and Colts, Peyton Manning comes in. Has he ever been any better? He's always been good. I mean, you can go through the numbers, the superlatives over the course of his career, and just marvel at them. And maybe a number here or there is not quite what you would think, but he has just been tremendous this year. Yes, Jim?
I'm glad I want to get your opinion on something.
Okay.
Would you rest your guys?
Yes.
Or does 16-0?
No. 16-0 means nothing. You don't play to be undefeated.
See, I don't know. How can you say?
Because it's not college ball. I mean, in college football, in order to ensure your opportunity to be the national champion, you have to be undefeated.
But you'd have your guys always playing. And at the end of it all, if you end up 16-0 and you win the Super Bowl, you did better, in my opinion, than the Dolphins because you played more games.
Okay, well, let me give – okay, now you're talking about subjective comparisons, right, in history. Who did you like better? Was Bob Greasy better than Peyton Manning? You know, numerically speaking, no, but, I mean, you can look at it all kinds of different ways. But think about it like this. What if Peyton Manning drops back to throw and Derek Harvey plants him like he planted Matt Schaub? Keep in mind, they don't have a backup. Jim Sorge was their long-term backup. And in recent years, they've won with Jim Sorge on the field. But Sorge's on injured reserve. You ready for who their backup is?
Wait, do you think it's better than to not have them play for almost a month?
Yes. It's Peyton Manning. It's Peyton Manning. You can't sit everybody, right? The offensive line is going to have to keep playing. Guys like Joseph Addai and Donald Brown are going to have to keep playing. But if you've got Dwight Freeney, who, by the way, is on the injury report this week, has been for a number of weeks with an abdominal issue, he did not participate in practice on Monday. And did not participate in practice today, nor did Robert Mathis. Why wouldn't you sit him? I mean, winning the Super Bowl is the ultimate measure in the National Football League.
Who's the backup?
Curtis Painter, a sixth-round rookie from Purdue. You're going to ask him to steer this ship through the Super Bowl waters? No way.
Yeah, I guess.
None.
I don't know.
Look. What does Peyton Manning have to prove to you to prove that he could be ready to go?
Nothing. It's a team effort.
I understand. But this team is Peyton Manning. This team is Peyton Manning.
So the Saints really should be doing the same thing.
If I'm them, yeah. Get what you got. They still haven't locked up home field advantage.
Right.
They have to play this week because they need a win or a Viking loss to guarantee them. Right. So that's not guaranteed
well.
For them. So we'll talk about them next week. But if I'm Bill Polian and Jim Caldwell, I'm sitting Peyton Manning. There's no chance that I'm going to have him get planted in the turf. Now, they could look at the number of sacks that Derek Harvey has and that the Jaguars don't get after the passer and that Peyton Manning gets rid of the ball. But what if someone falls into his knee? And if Vic were here, he could talk about postseason numbers with Manning because he digests those and regurgitates them over and over and over and over. But what I'm saying is the way that Manning is playing this year, and he's had better numbers, okay? But he's completing 68% of his passes. He's thrown 29 touchdowns. His passer rating is 98.9, but look at the guys he's throwing to. Yeah, you know Reggie Wayne and Dallas Clark is phenomenal. But Austin Collie and Pierre Garçon? I mean, remember when they would line up with Brandon Stokley in the slot, Marvin Harrison outside, Reggie Wayne? You couldn't match up with that talent. You just couldn't do it. Now, he's making average guys into very good players. So, I'd sit him. Wouldn't even hesitate. Now that you've got it all locked up, he sits. That's it. For a couple of weeks, rest and rehab. We'll take your phone calls here on the Jack Del Rio Show when we return after this on the WOKV Jaguars Football Network.
Christmas, Christmas.
Hey!
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton with you. Doesn't appear we're going to have the head coach with us tonight. Again, with the short week and schedules being altered as they are, we'll just keep rolling through here. Happy to have you join us at 355-NFL-1, 355-6351, of course, 800-355-NFL-1. As we roll through the rest of this hour, don't forget if you're listening here in Jacksonville tomorrow night, Jaguars this week goes off as always, and then the Jaguars play on Thursday evening. Just a quick note. For those of you who follow the Jaguars, for Brian Witherspoon, the Jaguars kick return man, was waived yesterday. Jaguars needed to bring Brock Bolin, the young fullback from Louisville, up to the active roster. And to do that, they had a luxury with Brian Witherspoon, not playing corner much for them, and a return man. But they've got Mike Thomas, and so they had to make the move. Witherspoon was always an electrifying guy. I mean, he had the ability. Never did break that one. Had the tremendous opening day as a rookie against the Titans, but never found the end zone. Doesn't mean he won't. Lions have claimed him. So, folks, if you'd like your kids to meet Derek Cox, and let me tell you, if you haven't had the chance to talk with him, he is a delightful young man. You can do that. You can visit Daly's at 13800 St. Augustine Road. That's Friday night, 13800. Let me start this whole thing again. Meet Derek Cox. Daly's, 13800. That's probably the best way to describe it. 13800 St. Augustine Road, Friday from 5:30 to 6:30. Derek will be there signing autographs and taking pictures. Big John Henderson was supposed to be there. He will not be there. So Derek Cox, the rookie from William & Mary, is taking his place. And you can join him Friday, 5:30 to 6:30. Daly's at 13800 St. Augustine Road. All right, the Jaguars have got, and here is the key now, to contain Dallas Clark. The numbers haven't always been there in the games, but when the Jaguars play the Colts, it's Clark that catches the third down. It's Clark that grabs that little 12-yard touchdown that turns the game around. He's the guy who always seems to break the Jaguars back. The Jaguars will play without Clint Ingram this week. Russell Allen, the undrafted rookie who has earned a lot of time and attention over the course of the last couple of weeks, is going to end up seeing him. Now, Daryl Smith might move out there and play him also. But Russell Allen is going to get the call against Dallas Clark, a Pro Bowl tight end, who has made some great catches this season. 8 touchdowns on the year, average 11 yards per catch, but is really a first down machine. That's what he does. Turns third downs into first downs. And I always think that that's the matchup that they get beat on. Reggie Wayne had a big game, 10 catches, 100-plus yards in the ball game there on opening day, but Colts only scored 14 points. So defensively, the Jaguars did the right things to shut him down. They just allowed them way too much time with the football. Dallas Clark is the guy. You take him out of the game, you give yourself a better-than-average chance to win. I'd say rush the passer, that's futile. Not just for this team with just a handful of sacks in the year, but against Peyton Manning. He's only been sacked 10 times all year. Jaguars got one sack against him on opening day with Reggie Hayward. Obviously, that was Hayward's last game of the season. You got to get a little bit there. You got to make him shuffle his feet. You got to try to get him to throw off balance. But in reality, it's about coverage. If the Jaguars go out and cover as well as they did in the second half against Miami, that'll be a big start for the football team. Let's take a break. We'll come back more of your calls, questions, comments, more thoughts on the game against the Colts on Thursday night when the Jack Del Rio Show continues here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Sounds of the season here as we crawl closer to the Christmas holiday and still in the playoff hunt. Let's grab Frank, who held with us through the break, down in Apopka. Hello, Frank. How are you tonight?
Hi. Like what you said, still in a playoff hunt. Disappointed immensely about Sunday, especially it was with the Dolphins. But I've got two questions, and I want to see what you think, is you're more of the inside than, you know, just a fan. Number one, when you lose a big game like that on Sunday, do you think it's better for the players to bounce back and have a game Thursday so they can't reflect on it the whole week? And the second one is, when you look at a team like Arizona last night and the Steelers, what do you think affects a team after they win a Super Bowl or make the Super Bowl that they seem to fall apart the next year?
Well, I tell you what, losing, and I'll deal with that one first. Losing the Super Bowl is a crushing blow for a football team. I just know what it was like around here in 2000 when the Jaguars lost the AFC title game to a rival. But to go to a Super Bowl and have that thing come out negative for you, I don't know if I can describe it. I know a lot of people who have been around those teams. It is immensely difficult to pick up and just keep going again. The Cardinals have been up and down all season. I think part of that problem has been their quarterback. Warner has been dinged up. We've seen Matt Leinart a whole lot more than I think we anticipated seeing. That football team has immense talent. Leinart, I don't believe, is ready to step in and be the quarterback that's going to take them back to the Super Bowl. It's all going to rest on Kurt Warner's shoulders. He's mentally tough. He's lost Super Bowls before. I think their problem is not so much the hangover from the Super Bowl, because they were pretty strong early. I mean, I know they didn't win on opening day, but what we saw from them when they were here was an offense capable of huge things. And the other side of that coin is remember now, they stumbled down the stretch. They got hammered in New England last year and still got some traction and got that thing rolling. But you're right on point. Teams that lose the Super Bowl have a nasty hangover that they've got to put beside them if they're going to get on with getting back towards where they were. With respect to how much time losing a big game, yet it's tough to tell with this young football team. They've been pretty resilient all season long. You know, I mean, they got whacked here. 31-3 was the score, if you remember, in the second half against the Cardinals. Finished 31-17, but it was 31-3. They got hammered. And they went on the road against a team in Houston that had just won in Tennessee, and they won the ball game. They came back after a win, young football team, with another big win. But then they went on the road to Seattle, and we all know how that one ended up. You know, then they were able to string some wins together, and then they went up to Nashville, and it fell apart on the defensive side of the ball. So they have been so up and down, which is exactly what you expect with a young football team as they get to late in the season. I don't know that there's an advantage to turning around and playing on Thursday. In fact, it's probably more of a disadvantage because you've got some tired legs. You've got some injured guys. You want to get them back. You have fewer days and not as much time for these guys to go to their independent film study and get to where they want to be. I don't know whether I can say that it's an advantage or not. I think you'd probably rather play with a week's rest and preparation time. But this football team doesn't have that luxury. They've got to get out there and play. Frank, thanks for the thoughts. Certainly appreciate your participation in the show this evening. We'll take a break and continue after this on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Within about 9 minutes of wrapping up this program, don't forget tomorrow night, for those of you here in Jacksonville, you can hear Jaguars This Week with Jeff Loggeman, Vic Ketchman, Joe Fortunato, and me. 2 hours as we get you ready for the Colts game. Then Thursday evening, 5 o'clock for the tailgate show in Jacksonville. Then at 7 o'clock Eastern time, we'll bring the rest of the network on board with Jaguars pregame. Kickoff 8:20 for the Jaguars and the Colts. And that is followed, of course, by the Winn-Dixie postgame show and the scoreboard show. Phone number 355-NFL1. Armando joins us from Middleburg. Hello, Armando. How are you tonight?
Hey, how you doing, Brian?
Good.
Nice to be here.
Nice to have you. What's going on?
Nothing much. I just want to say that you hit the nail on the head. I mean, when you say that that we have a problem with our offensive line down in the middle, that's you hit the nail on the head. I'm tired of critics saying that Mojo lost a step. I'm tired of hearing that David Garrard isn't a good quarterback. No, you hit the nail on the head. We got to replace that middle line.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's the next step for this football team, is to find some young guys that they can use in the middle of that line. Vinny Monawai should be back. He's had some moments this year where Jeff Loggeman, when he watches the tape, just gushes about how good he is. Waneri, has the word on him since the first day he got here, is very, very talented, but very inconsistent, and we've seen that. And Brad is just, he's a 10-year player who's had, over the last 3 years, a couple of significant injuries, the bicep a couple of times and the lower leg. So it just makes sense. You got to get a young line in the middle of that offensive line to help push this thing forward. You know, whether that's free agency, although you know they're not going to spend a ton of money going into the last year of the collective bargaining agreement, or whether it's in the draft when a guy falls to them, the big guys have got to complement that that offensive line.
Absolutely, absolutely. And hats off to all the rookies that Gene Smith brought to the team.
You know, and just from your perspective now, to share with our listeners here, you know, this football team has a huge game on Thursday night against the Colts. Earlier in the year, if you would have pointed to this game, you would not have been able to say this. I mean, aren't you thrilled the week before Christmas to have this team with a great game on Thursday that should provide an electric atmosphere? I mean, that's as much fun as you could ask from a team that admitted before the season that they were going to rebuild.
Absolutely, absolutely. And anytime the Jaguars and the Colts play, it's always a good game. Because they know each other very well.
They held them to 14 points back in September. That's the lowest total they have all year.
Absolutely. And then last year, was it the first game against the Colts?
They won it.
They won it. Yeah. And they held the ball for most of the game.
Back in week three. And then, heck, they had a 14-0 lead in the ball game here, if you remember, late last season on that Thursday night game, and they couldn't hold it. And by the way, boy, if you want a key to victory for Sunday, I'll have it when we return. Final break. Sunday. Thursday. Got to get that through my head. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. No Jack, no Del, and no Rio this evening. It just happened that way with respect to the week. And appreciate those of you who called and for joining us on the program tonight. Jaguars and Colts Thursday, 8:20 kickoff, 5 o'clock for the tailgate show in Jacksonville, 7 o'clock for the network pregame show. Winn-Dixie, by the way, has everything you need for Christmas entertaining. Check out their fully cooked turkey and ham dinners. Winn-Dixie, fresh checked every day. All right, you want key to victory? Hey, this is it, folks. Points. Remember, the Texans scored 17 unanswered and couldn't hold them off. The Jaguars held them to 14 but couldn't score enough to win. You got to get points. All right, I mean, that's as simple as it comes, right? Score more points than the other team. But you're not going to get it done with 14 or 17 points. You're going to need 24 or 28 points to beat the Colts. Two ways to get that done. The first is you must convert on third down. Jaguars are 5-3 in their last 8 games. They have converted 50% or greater on third down in the 5 wins. But they've converted 33% or fewer in the 3 losses. Just makes sense. In a game, you're coming off with 6 3-and-outs in your first 8 series. You got to convert. The other is you got to score points off the turnovers. Jaguars are +3 last week. You understand, you win 98% of the time in the National Football League when you are +3. You got to score. Thanks for joining us on the program this evening. Have a great night, everybody.
This has been the Jack Del Rio Show, brought to you by Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company, Ticket Exchange, and Community First Credit Union. Join us again next Tuesday night at 6 for your chance to talk to the head coach. The Jack Del Rio Show is a presentation of the WOKV Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.